collaborative,
experimentation,
the next idea.
We need a participation revolution, and we need it fast.
The amount of food that we waste in this country is staggering, and half of it happens right out of our own homes, food we throw out. A project called ReFed, Rethink Food Waste Through Economics and Data, recently released what it calls a roadmap to reduce U.S. food waste. One of the leading participants in this national effort is an Ann Arbor sustainability and recycling consulting firm called Resource Recycling Systems, or RRS. With us now for the next idea, RRS President J.D. Lindeberg. Welcome, J.D.
Well, thank you very much.
Good to have you with
us.
Fun
to be here.
And we welcome Hunt Briggs. Hunt is a consultant for RRS and the project manager for this major food waste report. Hunt, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Good afternoon.
This report, Roadmap to Reduce U.S. Food Waste, states really a stunning fact, and I'm going to read it from the report. The United States spends $218 billion a year growing, processing, transporting, and disposing of food that's never eaten. That's a lot of money and a lot of waste. Can you break it down for us? Where is all this waste coming from, J.D.?
A lot of it's coming right out of our refrigerators and either going into the trash and then into the landfill or down our drains. And I think one of the tragedies there is that much of it is preventable. It hurts us in two ways. We spend too much money on it. And secondly, it ends up in a landfill where it becomes methane, and that's not good either.
What about outside of our homes, Hunt? Where else is this coming from?
What the ReFed report and roadmap sought to do was identify exactly that. You know, where is the waste originating? And we found that about half of the waste, just under half, about 43%, is coming out of homes. But the remaining 57%, about 25 million tons a year, is coming from businesses. Restaurants could be fast service restaurants. It could be sit-down restaurants. Small amount is going to waste from manufacturing sector. They produce a lot of waste but have pretty good supply chain already to recover a lot of that waste.
How about the farm level?
Farm level, we estimate that about 10 million tons is generated at the farm level.
When you think about this, we see nearly half of food waste happening in our homes. That's huge because it's something that we can do and to change. I think so many of us, I am certainly among them, guilty of tossing out leftovers that you put in the back of the fridge and then you forget about it, or you don't finish that gallon of milk by the sell-by date. Hunt, what are some of the things that we can do in our homes to decrease the food waste?
I think one of the things that jumped out at us this study was the need for better date labeling. There's a huge potential for return on investment for standardizing date labels so that consumers understand when their food is expected to be past the consumption date. Right now, we have a lot of mixed signals reaching consumers. We have sell-by dates, we have best-by dates, we have expiration dates. And a lot of those are targeted to retailers and not actually consumers. We end up throwing away a lot of food that we think is bad, but actually isn't past the safe level of consumption.
I think you're absolutely right. Somebody will see a date and go, oh, get rid of it. You're right. We are very confused about those. The other thing I'm wondering is just about, if you have any thoughts, J.D. Lindeberg, about our buying habits. You go into, you know, the stores where you can go into those warehouse stores and get big cartons of all kinds of things, and you think, what a deal I'm getting, and you come home with a lot of things more than your family may need. Are we in that habit of overbuying?
Certainly, we have the bulk buying opportunities that have saved a lot of people a lot of money. But at the same time, if you buy twice too much and it has to then be thrown out, that's not helping you from a savings perspective at all. One of the other areas that ReFed targeted was a very significant effort to educate consumers. Make use of social media to do some large-scale consumer advocacy campaigns that raise awareness about food waste and give consumers an idea about how they can save money, reduce this wasted food. We can create a better set of date labeling, and we can get people thinking about how to make better use of the food in the home and perhaps in smaller portions as well. There's some good opportunity here for greater health. I mean, I think this is an issue that has health implications, it has money-saving implications, and it has really tremendously beneficial environmental implications.
I was impressed. One of the solutions offered in the roadmap to reduce U.S. food waste, how about we shrink the packaging and sell smaller amounts of food at a time?
Yeah, I mean, that comes in several different ways. In commercial dining establishments, college lunchrooms, places like that, moving towards smaller plates and trayless dining so that you don't have a tray that you feel like you're compelled to fill up leads very, very directly to less food wastage, on the same side, we're also trying to re-educate folks around the benefits of buying what we would consider off-grade produce, so-called ugly produce, which is just as good as the not-so-ugly produce. But at the same time, if you use it all, then you're saving all of the water and the fertilizer and everything that's been used to produce that material upstream in the supply chain. There's a very comprehensive set of solutions here that I think are very important for everyone to understand. And one of the benefits that ReFed as a whole provided us is an overview from the farm all the way to the table and past to give us an idea of what the system is. And then once you understand what the system is, you can understand what points of leverage you have to both enhance people's lives, but at the same time have less food waste.
I want to ask you, Hunt Briggs, what's the big picture for Michigan? How's Michigan doing right now?
Organics is an immense fraction of the material that is going to landfill annually. And it also presents one of the biggest opportunities for Michigan to increase its recycling rate. When you look at the community level and you think about what can communities do that will have comprehensive and holistic impact on getting more materials diverted from landfill, you have to start with food waste. You have to think about how we can get food waste that's being generated at the consumer level in households, also at businesses at the commercial level, diverted from landfill. So we need to work on instituting diversion opportunities, pathways where those businesses and consumers can actually take their food and send it to either centralized composting or backyard composting or other solutions.
JD, what would get us in an even better position? I mean, if you were to call the governor right now and recommend some really big picture waste reduction methods to Michigan's food system, what would those look like?
There's no question that you see really good food waste recovery statistics in states that have very aggressive policy approach to handling it. There's two different ways to handle that. One is some states have chosen to simply ban food waste disposal in landfills. Another approach is to say we have a waste stream, we expect 60-65% recovery of that waste stream, and if you then include all of the recycling and recovery options, you really have to have a strong food waste recovery program to even get anywhere close to those kinds of recovery numbers. The final thing that's somewhat controversial, but this is an excellent circumstance where a carbon tax would work very well, because most of the food, when it goes to a landfill, becomes methane. And methane, because it's such a global climate change gas, so strong, 24 times carbon dioxide on equivalent carbon basis. If we were able to properly value carbon emissions in this country, you wouldn't see any food waste at all going into the landfills for two reasons. One is it would avoid all the methane emissions. And two, you would find much of it being composted. And as it's composted, it then gets used as a soil amendment and a soil product where you get further carbon sequestration in the earth. I think we need to remember that circle, because there is sort of a circle of life for food waste. And that is that it starts out as food. We use it. If we don't use it, it then goes back to either a donation process or a reuse process, or then finally a recycling process, and it gets turned into a soil product and gets put back in the soil to grow more plants. When you complete that circle, you have some tremendously beneficial things that happen.
And you factor in these prevention techniques that we were talking about, things that we could do to prevent this waste from happening from our own homes.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you this, nothing pays back as quickly as prevention. Because the cost of growing food in this world, for Americans in particular, with the meat that we eat, the cheese, the highly processed material, the lettuce that comes from California, carries with it a very significant carbon footprint. And when we waste it, we lose that whole cost structure that's behind it.
Hunt, what is at stake if we don't change our wasteful ways?
Hundreds of billions of dollars are at stake. These are billions of dollars that we're currently losing today. The baseline of what we are literally and figuratively throwing away is staggering. It's so staggering that it actually is measured as significant points against our total GDP. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge opportunity that is lost if we don't actually take measures such as the ones laid out in the roadmap to recapture the value that we're wasting.
J.D. Lindeberg, last thoughts from you. What's at stake?
It's very simple. This is all about food for the future. We have a very quickly growing population in the world. And at the same time, that same world is stressed by what is very clearly a significant changes in our climate. We can argue about how those changes are being driven and what to do about them. But the fact of the matter is, in an environment where we have greater demand for food, less opportunity for production, wider range of very extreme weather events, we're going to have to focus very, very carefully on having enough food for our world's population to eat. And to do that, we have to take advantage of all of the organic resources we have, and we simply can't afford to send those resources to the landfill. We need to make sure that they can, where appropriate, be donated for folks to eat, and we could end up with another billion meals available for simply donation programs. But at the same time, those materials that can't be donated, they need to be reprocessed, turned into energy and soil product, and put back in the land so it can continue to grow the food for next generations.
J.D. Lindeberg is the president of the Ann Arbor-based Resource Recycling Systems, or RRS. Hunt Briggs is a consultant for RRS, and he was the project manager for this major food waste report titled Roadmap to Reduce U.S. Food Waste. You'll find that report on REFED's site. That's REFED, R-E-F-E-D.com. Gentlemen, thanks to both of you for being with us on The Next Idea.
Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot. It's our pleasure.
Support for The Next Idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.